o'clock hour of Wildea Tausch begins now. Can we get back to Rogers in a little while?
What, are you getting Rogered out?
No. What the hell is going on in the National Basketball Association? Chauncey Billups coached last night in the Trailblazers' loss to the Timberwolves. And now he's been arrested. And has he been fired now officially by the Blazers?
I don't know. I haven't paid attention. I don't know. Typically, you get arrested like that.
Allegedly.
You can't leave. Yeah, allegedly. I don't know.
They can't exactly meet with him to have him sign papers that he got fired, so I can't imagine he's actually fired yet.
So if you have not been following this story, it broke this morning. You can find it on ESPN.com and, of course, many other places.
Did you see it on Good Morning America?
That is where I saw it, actually. there's a lot of crossover with ESPN and Good Morning America, you know. Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier have been arrested as part of a wide-ranging investigation related to illegal sports betting and rigged poker games backed by the mafia, authorities announced Thursday. Boy, is that a sentence that I never thought I'd read.
Yeah, that's one you don't want to be a part of, I can tell you that. I don't think that's one you're looking for.
I just want to say, in 1 week, we've had a real-life heist of the Louvre and mafia poker games being rigged by an NBA head coach, allegedly.
And yeah, make sure
all
you
my
say
favorite
allegedly.
TV shows are coming to life all in 1 week. This is incredible.
What do we need to have happen for your show, The Blacklist, to occur?
The world's most wanted fugitive needs to be helping the FBI in secret. That's the only other thing that needs to be
happening. Maybe they are. This is an FBI investigation.
So I'll say this, Jason, because I think the narrative now is going to be, well, the leagues are taking his gambling money. You sign up for it, right? And that kind of, I think that's what some folks are going to say, right?
That's what I would have said, yes. That's very fair criticism of me.
Here's what I would argue. And I think it was a risky play for every major sports league to get in bed with gambling. The money is too great for them to not. And I think the argument you're going to hear is if you didn't have all of this, because the DraftKings and some of these other sites, they have to be on their P's and Q's. And I don't know if this stuff comes to light if they're not. That is what you're going to hear. Now, if you want to believe that, if you don't, that's up to y'all. But I will say there have been irregularities shown, and people have been investigated. Some players and coaches have gotten a slap on the wrist and moved on with their life.
Right.
This seems very substantial. I don't know. I have not read all of the indictments, but the argument is the more transparency and more data that people can collect, the easier it will be to find the bad actors in these scenarios. Whether or not you want to buy that, that's up to you.
Billups, who was arrested in Oregon, is charged in a separate indictment alleging a wide-ranging scheme to rig underground poker games that were backed by mafia families, authorities said. The defendants are accused of using technology to steal millions from victims in the New York area. So basically, this is like Rounders? And Teddy KGB?
Oh, where he's dealing off the bottom? What was it, the hammer claw or whatever it was? Yeah, I feel a little, I just want to make sure that we're getting this right, because this is movie type stuff.
Yes.
Molly's Game. Like this is stuff. This is real life stuff. So I want to make sure, you know, all these details. But the bottom line is, you better, as commissioners of these sports, you better be careful. And I know the NBA has had its issues. This obviously is going to be a big boy one. They had the Donaghy deal that they, have to admit, they somehow got that pushed aside relatively easily in a world where that was a monster scandal that kind of just went fizzle, fizzle, bye-bye. This one, this is a big boy one, allegedly.
All right, so this is why I wanted to get to this, because you've heard me bellyache and whine about the injury report in the NFL. Yeah. But I wanted to have a serious conversation about this stuff, because I think your phrasing of getting in bed is a very fair choice of words. You have chosen to go down this path because of the gigantic pot of gold at the end of that path of having, whether it's daily fantasy or betting on things, like you've gone all in, so to speak, right? I mean, they've got during football
games.
Right. Thank you. Thanks for noticing. I mean, they are partners, FanDuel and everything. They're all partners of these leagues. So my question for you, Tausch, is you have opposing forces. You have coaches that want to play those games and do the gamesmanship and not give away any information that's going to put them at a competitive disadvantage. We just heard Aaron Glenn yesterday say he knows who his quarterback is, but he's not telling anyone between Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Which, again, from a coaching perspective, I don't blame him, right?
Sure.
My question is, if the league has embraced to such a degree, this is not underground poker games backed by the mafia, which I still can't believe we're talking about. I mean, if you would have predicted topics on this show, I would have never thought it's like a Law and Order episode. But in the more mainstream betting, gambling world, do you believe that leagues should require much more transparency for their own good, even if their coaches are pissed about it? Like, should you have to announce, like, again, we love Pat Murphy. I don't know how much he knew or didn't know about what his pitching plans were. But in order for people who are wagering with your partner companies, should you be required to announce your starting pitcher? Should you be more detailed in your injury reports? Like, should that be required? Is my question.
Ah, man, I don't think you're going to be able to do that, because for most of these teams, they're not thinking about that. They're not thinking about point spreads and over-unders. They're thinking about, what can we do if I can stop and put a lefty in the beginning of a baseball game to limit what they can do in that first inning or second inning? I want to do that, and I don't want them to be able to plan far ahead to do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to know that my quarterback's toe hurts, or that my offensive lineman's got a bad wheel and maybe you can blitz more. Oh, my center's not going to play. Oh, I have a corner. I don't want to give that information out. And if sports needs to be the reason sports are so popular and why we love them is there's drama and you don't know the outcome. And when you start tinkering and having people that are associated, even if it's wrong or even if it's not, you just give that perception, like you did with Donaghy. Sports are in trouble. You have to fight that. So I understand your question. I still believe the main thing needs to be about winning, and you have to really root out any of the malfeasance that might be going on in clubhouses, locker rooms, et cetera, et cetera. And that is not the easiest thing to do. I think, again, what you're going to hear is that this got snuffed out because of their gambling partners reporting irregularities in certain games and in certain wagers, and that allowed them to get to this early and stop it. And that is going to be the fallback of these leagues. Whether you want to believe that, I'll say this. They're not going to pass and turn this back into all of the gambling being illegal and under the table.
No
doubt.
That
is not where this is going to go. And if we're being honest, maybe it's not you, maybe it's not me, maybe it's not all, but there are a lot of folks that sports, the reason they're as intrigued as they are is because they got a little scratch down on those games. That's why they're as intrigued and interested and vested in these sporting teams as they are.
Yeah, I want to be very clear. This is a story about like poker games. Now, the Rozier thing, there's a point-shaving component to this as I read further, and that is an issue. There was a bunch of bets placed on him and the unders of a bunch of his totals. He left the game with a foot injury, allegedly. Like, the sports books stopped taking bets on him because there was a surge in bets in a small amount of time. That's different. I get that. But to me, my only argument here is that I think leagues, if they're going to reap the benefits financially, it's going to require some greater actions that maybe coaches don't want, so there's greater transparency. I agree with you. If I'm the manager, I don't want to have to tip my who's going to pitch for me if I don't have to. But again, there's some give and take, and if you want to take the money, it's going to require, and you're going to make your coaches or players angry about it. But to me, that's the part of this that I find interesting. That's all. The other part of this, it's just wild. It's just a wild story.
Dude, you want to know my favorite part of the whole story? And there's a lot of things that are very compelling about it.
Yes, I'd love to hear.
Terry Rozier's attorney is named Jim Trusty.
Jim Trusty?
Jim Trusty. Old Jim Trusty.
Would you trust an attorney named Jim Trusty?
Sounds made up. This entire thing sounds like a plot to a movie or whatever. Like, it's crazy.
Not as much as I trust Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. David and his team have been doing it for nearly 40 years, making sure that you're taken care of if you've been injured in an accident. Hopefully you never have to make that call, but if you do, one call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Hey, let's play some trivia.
Yeah, let's do it.
Jesse, what's today's category, and what caller would you prefer?
Today's trivia category, since we're spending much of the show discussing the revenge game that isn't a revenge game between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers' greatest Green Bay hits.
Ooh.
Today's trivia category. Probably appropriate for caller 12, don't you think?
You know what? He's worn, let's see, he's in the NFL, he's worn 12, 8, and 8. 12 plus 8 is 20, plus 8 is 28.
Do it, I dare you.
Caller 28. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 28 for trivia, which we will play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt, dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are.
We'll get back to Aaron Rodgers by getting to trivia. How'd caller 28 work out for you?
We got a ton of phone calls. We were done. I had all the information for our contestant. We still had like a minute and a half left in the commercial break. I had time to put my feet up, eat a donut, all that stuff here.
Well, good. Glad our popularity continues to surge. Time now for trivia.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It's been a while. but he's been a friend of the show for a long time. It is Dan in Brothertown. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Just awesome, man. How you been?
We're happy to have you back. Looking forward to another successful Phoenix season.
Absolutely.
And you sit in court. Well, not courtside. You're a little farther up in the stands. Let's play some trivia. The category is Aaron Rodgers' greatest Green Bay hits. Tausch, you participating in this?
Yeah, I'll take that middle question. Absolutely.
Okay. Good to know. Question one, Dan, is this. Aaron Rodgers' first career playoff victory as a starting quarterback was a win over the Eagles in the wild card round in 2010. Which player was the starting quarterback for the Eagles in that game? Oh. Was it Michael Vick, Mark Sanchez, or Marcus Tuiasosopo?
I believe that was Vick.
Indeed it was. Indeed it was. One for one.
All right, Dan. Which of these Packers did not catch a Hail Mary touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers in a game that the Packers won?
Ooh.
Is it Richard Rodgers, Randall Cobb, or Jeff Janis?
Oh. Who are the three again? Who's the first one?
Rodgers, Cobb, and Janis.
I'm going to say Cobb.
Tough one.
Richard,
Arizona Cardinals.
That's right.
Yes. Richard Rodgers in Detroit. Cobb against the Giants at Lambeau. Jeff Janis in Arizona, where they then lost in overtime. All right, let's bounce back.
Right,
question three.
All right.
What'd you always tell your players? Don't let the last possession beat you on this possession. Next play. Which Green Bay Packers player caught Aaron Rodgers' first touchdown pass as a starting quarterback in Rodgers' debut as QB1 on Monday Night Football against the Vikings to start the 2008 season? Now, I know that this has been said on this show multiple times over the years.
He's been on the show.
He has been a guest during our fart series. Former Aaron Rodgers teammates. Which was a classic.
That
was really fun when we did that, by the way. Your choices are Ravel Martin, Donald Lee, or Corey Hall.
Oh my God. Oh, this is really hard.
The fact that it was one of them is amazing.
Your choices again, Dan. Ravel Martin, Donald Lee, or Corey Hall.
He's been on the show. I'm gonna go with Corey Hall.
Bop, ba-da, bop, 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 bop. It was Corey Hall, indeed, and a hell of a play. Remember that one, Tausch?
I do. It was a great play. Rodgers threw a great throw, tough catch. I think he got drilled as he was throwing.
Twisted into a pretzel. Yeah, it was a great throw, Dan. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries for our Cousins Subs gift card at the end of the week. Great to hear from you, buddy. We appreciate you. Thanks.
You bet. We'll see you guys around. Take care. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you guys.
Dan.
He's one of the OGs.
Yeah, he is.
Or the old C's. OC's. Original contestants of Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Right? OC? Okay. So that is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Tausch, I do want to ask you this in all seriousness. Are we talking too much Aaron Rodgers? I don't want to push people away from the program, but if there's ever a week to discuss him, this is the week, right? You okay with our Rodgers content level?
I don't think we – I mean, I actually thought we'd have more. So, no, I think it's – you're going to talk to him today. He spoke yesterday. It is the storyline, and I know we'll be doing that tomorrow along with a lot of other stuff. But he is one of the top three figures in the history from a player standpoint of the Green Bay Packers. His era of football was fantastic. Now, he didn't get as many championships, but, yeah, it's a big deal this week, no doubt. I could understand fans in the past tell us, oh, you talk too much, Rodgers. Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but not this week. And there are other things. I think some of the other stuff that I'd like to hit on today, Jordan Love and his third down percent, what he's been able to do. There's other stuff that I sent you guys last night.
Uh-huh.
I do not think there's a problem with what you're – you know, how you're handling today's show. No.
So I got an email here from Jason that I'm going to read next. There's no love lost for this Jason when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to ask what you think of his thoughts. I'm going to do that. It's the word disingenuous is used a multitude of times in this email.
Okay.
I'll read it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
So I want to always be aware of how our fans are feeling about various topics and be open to their thoughts in addition to mine. And I feel like maybe you've already said that maybe I'm making a bigger deal of certain things than were actually true. I disagree with you on that Favre thing. The conversations that I had with him subsequently made it sound like it was pretty crummy. The romanticization of his time here, and maybe glossing over some of the not so great stuff, including, I mean, let's be honest, he complained about Big Mike a lot, and was not exactly like that Bills game. I remember that Bills game vividly, where they win 17-0, and he is up there just.
I think it was 19-0.
19-0. I think you might be right. So with that in mind, this email comes from Jason, not me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again, which is a variation on the Chiliism. The game room's closed. I excused Aaron's comments earlier in his career because I didn't think he could articulate his thoughts, but I was fooled. Aaron Rodgers is a seriously disingenuous person. COVID immunization, disingenuous. For years, he claims he wants privacy, but he goes on McAfee, Jeopardy, etc. Disingenuous. Poor cell coverage in Malibu. Disingenuous. Publicly chastising the Packers organization for a poor culture and choosing to play for the New York Jets organization. Disingenuous. Off-season trips abroad, and not getting enough personal time to spend in Ireland this year when he has work commitments. Disingenuous. Why on earth would anybody ever believe another word he says, including that he has love for the Packers organization?
Hmm.
What do you make of that? Because I do think that
What do you make of it? It struck you. What do you make of it?
I think there's some validity to what he's saying there. Now, again, the complicated fella line, for all the joking around we do with it, it is accurate. Like, we said that about Mark Murphy when he said it, right? He said the quiet part out loud. Kind of like when he went on the broadcast of the WIAA State Girls Basketball Tournament. And basically said, yeah, we'll take him back if we have no other options. That was Mark Murphy in a nutshell during his tenure as president.
He's a complicated fella.
That said, like, my issue here is I don't know how most Packers fans feel about him. Do they have warm, fuzzy, nostalgic feelings about this week leading into the game? They want to beat him on Sunday night. I get that. You want your team to win so they can continue to improve their record, so they can maybe get one of the most important number one seeds in NFL history and maybe make it to the Super Bowl. But I like, there's people that have warm, fuzzy feelings. There's people that just hate his guts. And a lot of that is for things he has said and things he believes and things that people disagree with. So I'm just, I don't want to paint this as all puppy dogs and ice cream and seashells and balloons, because I understand it's not. But, like, that felt over-the-top harsh to me. And Jason's been with us from the very beginning of the show. He's a huge fan of the show.
So what do you disagree with Jason about?
I think that everyone evolves, but not always in the greatest way. And it's his life. It's not my job to say, oh, he's evolving in a wrong direction. That's not, I don't get to say that. I'm sure people could say that about me. But there have been changes to him that, from where I sit, I don't like them as much. Like, they make me wonder who he's surrounded himself with, and if anybody ever pushes back on him on things, those types of things. Those are the thoughts that I have. But I still, Homer asked me a question last night on his show, if I still think that Aaron Rodgers is a good person, and I said yes, because I do. Just because I disagree with certain things doesn't mean I think he's now become a villain. I just,
sure.
He's said and done things that I have wondered why and what the upside is of that. Is that an unreasonable position to hold?
I guess the question I have is, when Jason kept saying disingenuous, how many of those do you agree with Jason's perspective on?
I think
I'll say this. The last part of it, and I said this in the beginning of the show, I do think he has a lot of love for the Packers. I do. Nate Weir, Flea, Kurt, Brian Neering. There's a lot of lifelong Packer that is he spent 18, 19 years with, that there is not a doubt in my mind that he has love for that. And I do think his 2 years in New York completely shifted his mindset about the Packers, even with it ending the way it did.
Yep.
And you can sometimes have a bad ending and still remember all the good times. Yes, there was some Mike McCarthy. That doesn't mean him and Mike didn't have more good times than bad.
Right.
The bad times get more shine. It's how this works.
Right.
I mean, it's right, but it's the reality. So do I think in the grand scheme of things he has a lot of love for Mike McCarthy and he still thought Mike could have been better at the end of his time there? I do.
Yep.
I think the love trumps the bad times. But that isn't what we remember, because it was final. Mike got walked out the building. And it wasn't, you know, Aaron Rodgers was a part of that. You didn't have to say he didn't fire him, but he definitely didn't help keep him hired. So I think some of the points that are brought up are also valid, but I do believe in this case, and maybe I'm being duped. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I see through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, as I said in the beginning of the show, I don't think him and Goody get along at all. And I think he wants to show Goody, blank you. But Goody, in fairness, Packers have won this. They've won this one.
Yep.
And I think Rodgers knows that.
To your point, I think his experience in New York, you know, what's the old saying? You don't know what you got till it's gone. For as much as he complained,
grass isn't always greener, and you're,
right,
you know,
all those, yeah.
Grass,
I think he.
The grass,
I think,
wasn't greener over there.
After he experienced the institutional dysfunction of that organization, that I think he had a better appreciation for what he didn't appreciate when he was here. That is what I believe. And I think he probably is in Pittsburgh now and sees another operation that's a little more buttoned up, like Green Bay was, and realizes that that's a good thing. At the same time, you know, some of the stuff that Jason's email brings up, I one minute you are a very private person, then you are very much out there, and now we're back to being a private person, right? With his marriage and all these texts we're getting on, I'm not making that my question. The way he handled the you got to FaceTime me and that other stuff, I'm sorry. You got to be better. And you didn't exactly take the high road out of town with the way you handled it, which is what allowed Jordan Love to walk in as the starter and not have a lot of people clamoring for the guy that just left, unlike the last time.
Correct.
So it all happened the way it happened. Do I love some of the things that he would criticize publicly, whether it was Matt LaFleur's plan for England and then having it happen again with the Ireland trip? Some of that stuff, do I think it's productive for him to do that and undercut people? I do not. So there are certainly valid criticisms to be had about him. I don't disagree with that at all. But
why did
I
they go to Ireland? Am I missing an Ireland trip?
The Steelers did.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, when did the Packers go to Ireland? Oh, okay.
And they're complaining.
Yeah, that English, in fairness, Rodgers was right about the England trip. That was brutal by LaFleur. Like, that whole thing was handled bad.
What do you mean?
When he was pouting about having to go. And
well, his attitude
I think
was
horrible. Was one of the low points of LaFleur, and I think he definitely learned his lesson from that.
He still hates international games. He just isn't as obvious about it publicly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. Now, if that's... You can't put that out there. Give your team that was poorly handled by Matt, and I don't mind. You know, Aaron could he have done it in house, probably, but it didn't work, and you saw it.
That's true. All right, we got some other things we want to get to. Tausch, it's time for you to tell us about Prize Picks.
Prize Picks. Well, last night Middleton. What did he end up with?
23 went for it. Yeah. You called
Giannis,
it.
Giannis only played 27 minutes and just zip all the way through. Yeah, Prize Picks is the best way to cash in while watching your favorite teams. Prize Picks a great way to put your takes to the test. They offer injury reboots. If one of your players leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. You know what? And Prize Picks is secure. Offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. You can join millions of users. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Oh, okay. It is good to be right. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
But on Saturday, 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 we paint the town. Lose my sense of time or two.
So we've spent fairly extended period here talking about warm, fuzzy feelings and then maybe not so warm, fuzzy feelings. But the kind of vibes and whatever about Rodgers versus the Packers. I'm sorry, Steelers versus Packers. The Steelers happen to have Aaron Rodgers. What about Rodgers the player and how he's playing right now? Because that is what's ultimately going to decide who wins on Sunday night at Acrisure Stadium with that crappy field of theirs. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about Rodgers and how he is playing, which I thought was very interesting.
At the end of the day, I think it's another game.
Sorry, that's Jordan Love. Hang on.
Well, he sounds a lot like Jordan Love.
That was really good.
This is what you're looking for.
He looks like he can still do anything. What's surprising for such an old man, he's still moving around pretty good, too. So... You've seen it in multiple games. I mean, he had an off schedule the other day versus Cincinnati where they drop eight. And he's running back and forth the field, throws a touchdown pass. Obviously, the one to Freiermuth, that 70-yarder he had, he got out of the pocket, made a hell of a throw on that one. The arm strength is still plenty there. You guys, you see it on, you especially saw it on the Hail Mary. I mean, I don't know how many guys that can throw the ball over 70 yards in the air. I'm not quite sure how far it went, but it was had to have been at least 70 yards. It's still pretty impressive what he can do. He can throw with pinpoint accuracy. There was one, I know it, the ball ended up getting picked off, but it's two man on DK, and he threads the needle, and the DB just ripped it away. But it was a great pass. It's just this guy is extremely accurate, and he can, if you give him just a sliver of light, he can fit the ball in there.
So, Tausch, I did watch the Thursday night game he played against the Bengals, which was a really, really entertaining game. He did throw two picks. One of them was the throw that LaFleur's talking about there. When we see a report like the one from Jeremy Fowler that says the Steelers would love to have him back for another year after this, which, again, there's a lot of football left to be played, do you think he's playing at a high enough level that you're thinking, yeah, he should play longer? You mentioned your thoughts on the Vikings idea earlier. Like, have you been surprised at how well he's played? And what are your expectations for him moving forward the rest of this season and maybe even beyond?
Yeah, I think I got caught in the New York Jets ineptitude and the fact that he was coming back from an Achilles. He was not moving great. I give him a ton of credit for continuing to work and get himself because, you know, is he the same elusive guy that he was in his late 20s, early 30s with the Packers? No. But you see, he's able to still find ways out of the pocket, still, you know, throws it as good as anybody. And I remember Dan Marino would say, and the old quarterbacks would always tell you, it's never the arm that goes, it's the legs. And I kind of started thinking that that's where Rodgers was heading, and then when his Achilles and everything else. Because even, you know, in Green Bay, there was a play he did a read option, and he got tracked down by a D lineman and said, hey, he's lost a half a step or a step. And mm-hmm. Those things catch up with you quick because then everything gets rushed. And as an athlete, you want to be in control. And when you get rushed or pressured earlier than you want, things can kind of fade. I think he has been a lot better than I anticipated. I think part of it is that, you know, Pittsburgh has, you know, done some things. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. He's going to have to do that on Sunday. And if he's doing that, he still throws it as good as anybody. And if you look around, I mean, Joe Flacco is still playing. Carson Wentz is playing. Jacoby Brissett is playing. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play till he's 45 and he's not charging $45 or $50 million to play, there is going to be – I mean, last year it was like, oh, who's even going to want him? Well, the Giants wanted him. Pittsburgh wanted him. Minnesota should have wanted him. And if he continues on this, and again, staying healthy, and does he want to go through the grind of doing this again now that he's a married man and everything else? If I was betting, I would say this is going to be his last year. But if it's not, there will still be teams that want him because he can still throw the ball as good as anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just, can he move and stay healthy at this age? That is always going to be the question when you start getting over 40.
Well, we will see how Sunday goes for him in terms of his performance. I think you're right, though. The institutional dysfunction of the New York Jets, he underestimated it, right? He thought he could change that. And then I will always wonder what the arc is if he never ruptures his Achilles. That I don't know how you don't wonder that. I'm assuming he doesn't sit
about that.
Yeah. Hmm. Why do I wonder?
Stevie Wonder.
The Wonder Wunderkinds.
Years.
All right.
The Wonder Years.
It's a classic.
Who's the gal
as well
in the Wonder Years? Winnie. Winnie. That's an
Winnie
underrated
Cooper?
Name. Winnie. Yeah, what a great fun first name. Winnie.
Like the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh. Fun loving little bear, right? Loved honey?
Loves his honey.
Okay. The Winnie the Pooh Hour will start in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.